If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.
Welcome to LeadCast. Hello and welcome to episode 606 of the LeadCast podcast. I am your host, Nick Cooper. Joining me is Aiden Rockarts.
Hey, it's me.
And Colton Sweat.
Hey, I'm here too.
Hey, the gang's all here. On this episode, we've got no new patrons, a little bit of LeadCast news, including, that was a crisp opening. Some trivia updates, a little bit of new news. We'll hear from our friends over at NordVPN. They're back. And then we'll probably just jump straight into competitive roundtable and mail fight. But first, Aiden, how was your week?
Mike was good. I played, I played a lot of not League, and then I played a little bit of League, and then I played a lot of not League. So I finished Starfield.
Woo!
It was good. I very much enjoyed it. It is very much a Bethesda game. And I liked it a lot. I probably wouldn't have liked it if I paid $80 Canadian for it, though, but I paid like $10 through Games Pass, so I really enjoyed it. And then I played a puzzle game called Manquette, which I thought was all right. And then I played fucking High on Life, which is the Rick and Morty people's like game studio, their first game, which it was very, it was bad, I would say. I give it like a 2 out of 5. Yikes. Like, humor is very Rick and Morty-esque, right? Like, the entire time, like, kind of, like, the run-on, like, kind of goofy sentences. But, like, 30 minutes into the game, there was, like, one joke that I thought was just really funny, and I'm like, oh, this game's gonna actually kind of, like, it made me laugh, like, enough, because, like, you're going into the sewers for the first time, there's, like, this, like, little annoying kid, and he, like, kind of pushes you, and he goes, "You're not getting by me." And you, like, try to shoot him, and you can't shoot him because he's a kid, obviously, like any fucking game, right? And then your gun talks in the game, so he goes, "You can't shoot a kid." The kid goes, "Yeah, you can't fucking shoot me. You should try to shoot me in my fucking face. You try again, it doesn't let you shoot." He's like, "Dude, you can't shoot the kid." And then you just shoot him dead, and it's like, oh, my God. You just shot the kid. There goes our E rating. I'm like, oh, that's very funny, because, like, every game that has, like, a young kid, you, like, you try to kill them.
That's good.
I was like, fuck, yeah, that's so funny.
Everybody does that in every game, always.
And there's just, like, dialogue about it. It's like, I'm like, that's so funny. And then there was probably not another funny or memorable moment in the next, like, 5 hours of the game, but it was like a C-tier shooter game, like, first-person shooter game, so. And then I played some League of Legends. I'm like, you know what? I've taken my break from my mid account. I'm going to play some more Adan Man 96. So I queue up, and I get top lane. So I dodge, because I'm like, fuck it, I don't want to play. I'm so done fucking playing top lane on that account, man. I just want to only play mid. Like, it's not enjoyable for me to play top, because I fucking either lock in Tahm Kench, and I feel like I'm not making progress for my mid climb, or I, like, troll and play a mage top. So then I dodge, I come back, like, a couple hours later, queue up again and get top again, so I play top Malzahar, and I won. And then I queue up again, and I get top again, and I play top Malzahar, and I went down 180 CS versus the Tournament, and I won. I don't know. So my last, like, 5 games are all top lane games. I'm queuing mid top. Like, I don't know. It's just, like, no one fucking plays top at this ELO.
That's wild, because I guess, like, I've only played a couple games, but I've gotten mid every single time.
I mean, like, up and, like, it's literally, like, as I'm hitting D4, right? Like, from
I still have ways to
gold, silver, whatever, until, like, let's just say Emerald 3, I got top once, and I got support once, like, off roll once. And then in my last, like, 30 games, I've gotten top probably 15, 16, 17 of them.
Dang. That's crazy.
I don't know. It's just, like, it's really annoying when you're trying to learn mid and you're fucking just getting top every game. But I'm just going to keep playing mages top, because I'm done playing TK on that account. It just feels like I don't mind, like, I don't want to purposely lose games, but like when I win on it, I don't feel satisfied, and when I lose on it, I'm even more annoyed because I'm playing my main character like 1,000 LP below where I am. I don't know, it's whatever. And then I started playing Lies of P, which is like the new Souls like game that's based around Pinocchio, and it's fucking really good, dude. It's really good.
Nice.
Highly recommend. Nice, and that's good. My week. What about you, Colton?
Let me see. I played, I think, only like 6 ranked games this week. Won most of them. We're chilling in Emerald 1. We might even make it to Diamond one back. Day. I have been playing still a decent amount of Baldur's Gate. It's been mostly multiplayer, so I haven't really advanced my main save a whole lot. But I'm excited to be getting back into that probably tonight. Trying to think what else I've been up to. Played some ARAMs with the lads. Those were all a good time. Ran into one listener in a ranked game, so that was kind of funny.
That's cool.
He was like, it was like 25 minutes into the game, and he like put in all chat. He's like, wait a minute, Danman94. I know that name. You're the podcast guy. And he's an Aurelion Soul one trick. So I thought it was Lol Soul. And so I was like, oh, is this like your alt account? Because the account name is A Lost Soul. And he's like an Aurelion Soul one trick and like like low diamond, like high emerald. So I'm like, oh, okay, like maybe that's his like alternate account. And he's like, no, just another Aurelion Soul one trick listener. And he like guessed at my name and got it like 2/3 correct, you know, and when they try and spell it and are just like, yeah, close enough.
Oh, I thought you meant like he said like Aiden. Nope. Colton. Yeah.
No, it was like, Colton, and the last name was like, it starts with an S. You're close enough.
That's funny.
But yeah, so that's about it for my week. I'm trying to think if there's anything else, but I'll hand it over to Nick. What you got for us?
I've played a lot of ARAM this week, and that's about it. I don't think I've played a ranked game yet. I don't know, guys. I feel like this is very unlike me. I don't know if I've ever taken such a long break from ranked before, like from the start of the split to now. Like, I just have no desire to play ranked. I don't know why.
Right, because you're bad and you're washed, and like it'd probably be sad if you like played against a bunch of games because you'd lose a bunch, and like no maybe. One wants to lose a bunch because that makes sense. That's what I would assume.
Yeah, that's probably true, but I don't know because I've like consumed a lot of League content, so I've listened to a lot of you know, Broken by Concept and all that, but it's just I don't know when it actually comes to playing ranked. Like, I think there's too many like other games that I want to play right now, so it's like they're competing for my time, you know.
Dude, being in like the alternate game era, dude, like I'm always so happy when I'm playing through a bunch of games.
Yeah, that's kind of the other thing. Like, if I'm winning on my mid smurf, like, oh, okay, that's kind of fun. Like, I had a good game. But then if I'm losing, like, it's kind of like going back to what you were saying the other week, Aiden. Like, I kind of just wasted like 2 hours.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, that's
like,
I think we've all.
I could have played 2 hours of Baldur's Gate.
Yeah,
I
right?
could have played 2 hours of Bloodborne.
You're like, yeah,
I could have not played games at all.
I could have advanced the story like 4 hours in one of these games, or I could have a really good chance to have won 3 games and lost 3 games and have wasted my day.
Yeah, and I'm like definitely not at that point yet in my mid climb, like because I've only played 10 games or 9 games or something like that. Mm. But I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. Yeah. But I think that's about it. I'm a part of the Kirkhammer gang in Bloodborne. I think that weapon is like super, super fun to.
Is that the big to play thing?
With. Yeah, that's the big, like, so it's a straight sword, and then big, like, the big hammer head that you, when you transform it, it's so sick. I don't know if it's good, but it's really cool. I feel like fast weapons are really, really strong in that game. Just as a quick little, like gut feeling, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, I've been enjoying that, and I think that's it for me. So let's get on with the show. Aiden, you want to tell us about the League Cast news going on?
Yeah, so last week I said, hey, I'm eventually going to do a trivia night where there's going to be trivia questions. It's going to be one trivia question for every League of Legends character. And I need you guys listening right now to submit questions. And we got a couple. What I want to do to sweeten the pot, though, is at the end of the month, I'm going to do a random draw from all of the submitted trivia questions, and I'm going to do a mystery skin draw.
Ooh.
So submit your questions. You're more than welcome to submit a bunch. I mean, if you submit like 10, I'll probably like cap you at some point. And I'm obviously going to make sure they're good questions. You can't just submit like, what color is someone's hair is actually really funny. but like, you can't just like shit garbage. But well, yeah,
what's
you
the name of new news partner?
That's really funny. But like, if you want to submit questions, feel free to do so. It's in our announcement tabs on our Discord. I will do a draw for a mystery skin at the end of the month. So make sure you get your submissions in. And then as soon as I get to like 100 or so submissions, I'll probably just like start filling up the rest myself. And then we'll plan a trivia night. So be fun.
Nice. Cool. Let's jump into the new news. So they had a gameplay thoughts about Mythics. Want to talk about that?
It was a lot of nothing, but I guess it's more of a discussion for just general concepts, right? Like, they did talk a little bit about stuff, pretty well saying, like, hey, some classes kind of sucked with them. Some classes kind of did too much with them. These are things we're going to remove. But a lot of it's just kind of, like, stuff you can kind of already gleam yourself from what they were going to do to Mythics, I guess. The TLDR of this is the future of items is they're just going to be less impactful, and it sounds crazy, but less exciting. which I think people are excited for, because when you see that on like in a sentence, it sounds really good, because a lot of people have this notion of like, I miss when characters were the part of the game, not the items. But
yeah,
I feel like League hasn't ever really been like that. It's a lot of rose-tinted glasses. And I think interesting items make characters even more interesting, as long as they don't break fundamentally how the characters function. But I don't know. I'm excited for the item changes regardless. I just think Riot does good work in general. But I'm definitely not excited for like the... I like the Mythic system. I just don't think it was perfect. I think it needed a lot of work.
Yeah, I don't think anyone would argue that it's perfect. I think it was a cool system that they... allowed them to experiment a bunch with, and we got some really, really cool things that I think are good for the game. You know, there were some problematic areas too. So I think I agree with you, Aiden. I think people are going to be a little disappointed with how the game is when, from... you know, the quote of Riot, it's like, it's going to be based on the champion's kit versus the items that they build. I think we're, you know, the complaints we see now are about items, Duskblade, Shojin, things like that. But as soon as we get, you know, like a Riven outplay or whatever, a Katarina outplay like we did before, it's just going to be even worse. So we'll see.
Yeah, I think it's a tough balance to find, because like, there's the world where you like take it fully in the opposite direction of currently, where it's like, okay, each item is one stat. It costs 2,000 gold. It has no recipes. You just buy health or armor or AD or attack speed. And once you have one, then you start buying other one. Like that would be really, really boring. And I don't think that's what people want, but I can definitely see like some of the appeal to minimizing a little bit of the complexity and taking away the items that really change a character's like playstyle, like they're trying to say. You know, I've been on a recent like anti Ravenous Hydra campaign because I think it does really fundamentally change a lot of characters, but it's like,
sure.
It and you know, even Static Shift, same thing, where it's like it gives you something you didn't have before, whereas if items were just like, this one gives attack speed and crit, this one gives AD and lifesteal, like, if that's all they did, we wouldn't run into those issues as much.
And that's
but also,
really
we wouldn't have
thing.
The fun stuff.
That's another thing to note. It's like kind of hidden in that article, but they said they also want to limit the number of stat lines an item gives to 3, so there won't be any 4 stat line items anymore in the game, which... I think this affects 80. Drew and I were talking about it a little bit. This affects 80 carries a lot. So, okay, they have like a couple items that give like quad stat lines of like attack speed, AD, movement speed, and crit. They have like three items, I think, that do that. There's not a lot of items in the game that give quad lines, though. And 80 carries, I think, like typically are the ones that are going to be affected the most by something like that, right?
Yeah, because a lot of it has to be like, you think about an 80 carry item, it has to have crit and it has to have either attack speed or attack damage. Yeah. Right, so then that's two right there. So the most you can do is add just another. So I don't know.
Yeah,
yeah. The only ones I can really even think of off like the top of my head would be some of the tank items where it's like armor, MR, health, and haste.
Or like mana, because mana.
Gargoyles,
like,
I guess. Yeah, mana
stat.
Items. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
yeah, I wonder if they'll break it though. Yeah, mana items. Like, dude, if you have mana on an item, it feels really bad.
And
then after that.
And that counts as one of your stat items. Like, obviously, Frozen Heart has three right now anyway, but it just feels bad if mana takes up one of those spots.
Yeah.
Who knows if it'll be like actual hard rule or not? But like, I was just thinking about like the classes that are affected the most. Like we were talking about this last week with Static Shiv. It's like 80 carry items. Like the ones that don't give you AD and attack speed are hard to fit into a build, right? Like,
yeah.
You want to curve out your build as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm. Unless it's like your mythic or whatever, right? But yeah, I don't know. It's gonna be interesting. I think people are gonna be greatly disappointed. I think expectations are going to be a little too high. I think the game's still going to be like super, super fun to play, probably in a, you know, pretty balanced spot like it's always been in. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of people look back way too fondly on old League.
Yeah.
I've been watching a lot of the countdown to 2023 Worlds, where they're just like constant, like 24/7 just playing previous Worlds until Worlds happens, and the game is like very much the same as it's always been played. It's just like taken to a more impressive level, I guess. Like it's just played, we're just better players now, so you're not seeing like the mistakes that are capitalized upon or not capitalized upon in a lot of cases previously. So I don't know.
Yeah, I do think there is something to be said about like the more solved the game is, generally, I think the more boring it is to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Where I think we've seen that a few times where maybe the meta was more stagnant or, you know, it's weird to think, but like, I think back to like season 5 Worlds, for example, where like it seemed more solved. Maybe they were just that much better than all their opponents, but like it wasn't fun watching a lot of those games where it was like even okay, they're up 20 CS across the board, they're getting the dragons, it's unwinnable for the other team, it's over with like 8 kills. Like those aren't super fun games to watch every time. So you know, adding in that variety, and I think that's part of what makes League continually really fresh and fun, right, is that they do keep changing things so things don't get so stagnant. I am with you, though, that with this item rework removing the mythics, I think people are probably, you know, giving it more credit than it's due. I don't think it's going to be, like, significantly better. It'll probably be pretty even. And
I almost, I'll let you finish.
I was just going to say, like, I'm still really wondering where we're going to land in terms of, like, net items. Like if we take out every mythic, or and I think they're keeping a couple of them, like how many other items are we getting? Because I think that's what a lot of people probably think when they hear this, is like they're gonna remove 30 mythics and add in 45 legendaries, and it's like probably not. It's probably gonna be they remove 30 mythics and add like 20.
Yeah I think more than people, I guess, getting disappointed by new League, like, or giving too much credit, I feel like people aren't giving enough credit to current League. Like, I feel like it's a really like well balanced game. I think obviously there are some exceptions, right, where sometimes we get Yumi Zeri for a really long time, or Yumi Lulu, and then for the most part we just get a really like well balanced game that I don't think Riot gets enough credit for.
Yeah, but Riot bad. Big company bad. I lost my game, so it's Riot's fault.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think League's sick right now. It's really, really good.
Is Chester having a good time?
Yeah. He's having fun.
Hey, good for him.
All right, so that's the gameplay thoughts. I think we got like a very baseline patch preview that's not solidified yet, so I think we'll wait until that's settled.
Yeah, we'll do that next week. It's a tiny, tiny patch because it's World's patch, so we'll talk about that next week. We got two game announcements.
What? Right.
The first one's an update. Like they've shown Song of Nuna before, but they haven't announced a date for it, and then they show.
Oh yeah, I guess announcement. Yeah,
is they have a name for the band? Oh, Bandle Tale is the name of the new game. But have you guys seen these yet, or should I break them?
I have seen them. The Vandal City one is kind of like it looks almost like a Stardew Valley esque, like story based game. So that, I mean, with Yordles, so it kind of tells you all that you need to know, I suppose. I don't know if have they come out and said like exactly what type of game this is going to be.
I bet on their website they have it, but I didn't go to the website. I usually do.
It says delightful crafting RPG.
Yeah, there you go.
Probably something very similar to Stardew Valley. But the art style looks like pretty cute. It hopefully will be like local co-op, and you know that'll be a good time. And then the Song of Nunu is coming out November 1st.
That's pretty soon. I'm really excited for that. It's like a action adventure type game with Nunu and Willump as the main characters. Yeah, that's pretty fun.
Have either of you guys played Mage Seeker yet? Is that what you were just about to ask?
Can I say, yeah. I haven't played Mage Seeker. Is there another one? Convergence.
Was there an Echo one?
Is Convergence out? Convergence is the Echo one.
I haven't played any of them.
Convergence Echo. What did they get released?
If they give me a ranked queue, I'll play it.
Huh. So I need to play through both of those. I think we should. I've heard Mage Seeker is pretty all right, and I've heard Convergence is good.
Really, I've heard that Mage Seeker is like pretty good. It's got
very repetitive.
Oh really?
Yeah. But I've heard Convergence is great. And then fucking what's the game that came out
Rune
last year?
King Rune King was so good.
Yeah, it was really good.
Rune King was way better than it needed to be. It's still probably my favorite like turn-based RPG combat system like of all time. I think it was super well designed.
Yeah, it was like almost perfect. I just think it needed like to have the fun builds be a little bit more.
It just needed Braum nerfed.
Braum was so good.
Yeah. Cool. Awesome. Let's jump into NordVPN. Let's hear about them.
Hey, you know NordVPN, our friends who are back and supporting the show again. They give you the highest quality encryption for your web traffic. They protect people from spying on you. They can also hide your IP address and physical location. It's really easy to use, as we all know. We've all tried it. We've all used it. It's this great service. One click, boom. You can connect from a different country. You can do whatever you need to do. You can get access to content that is maybe geographically locked. Like, Aiden maybe is trying to watch an American show with Nick and I, but he's in stinky Canada. Just kidding. Boom, NordVPN. He's now an American citizen. That's how it works. It's official, and he can watch the show with us. And you guys can get that great functionality and ease of access too by going to nordvpn.com/leaguecast. You're going to get 4 bonus months by using our link. Again, that's nordvpn.com/leaguecast. And all of that is risk-free with a 30-day money-back guarantee. If for whatever reason you decide you don't want it anymore, easy, get your money back. But if you do want that 4 months free on a 2-year plan, go to nordvpn.com/leaguecast.
Sweet. Thank you, Nord.
Thank you, Nord. And
welcome back. Cool. Let's talk about the Swiss format, huh?
You want to talk about it in guaranteed? I guess we have a lot of emails. We can do this next week.
Did you have something in
guaranteed? I have two things in there.
Oh, okay.
We can do one. How we do the Briar one, we'll do agency next week.
Yeah, let's do it.
So I wanted to give quick thoughts on Briar, because I've seen her in a good amount of games, and I haven't played her yet myself.
I have not played or seen her.
Okay, Colton, you've probably seen her, but you probably haven't played her, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Okay, so she released as the lowest win rate character ever in League of Legends history.
Mm-hmm.
She got a small hotfix nerf, like a really small one. Like she had, what, like 28% win rate like at the beginning when she got released? And they gave her like just a little tiny tap, which I'm surprised because usually they're pretty heavy handed. But it seems like they had a pretty good grasp of the fact that she is going to have good growth with win rate.
I think she actually received nerfs on the PBE like prior to her release.
Yeah.
So obviously they felt like she was better than her win rate indicated.
Yeah, I mean, Freak in his video pretty well said, like, she's going to be the lowest win rate character because she has things in her kit that just fundamentally don't play like any other character. Like, not having health regen is something that no person has played with before, right? Like, it's going to be very weird, right? Having two abilities that make you, like, lose control of your character, going to make you int a lot of the times, right? Like, all these things kind of result in someone having, like, a pretty low win rate on their character. But it seems like she's starting to normalize. She's kind of normalizing in and around like the 47-48% win rate area, which is a little scary because it went from 28 to this. So it means she's probably going to continue to grow even more as people learn her. Let me quickly pull up League of Graphs, see the win rates based on games played really quick. Yeah, so her win rates, if you have zero games played, is about 45%. But as soon as you're up to 10 games, it's more like 57.
Yeah, that's insane.
And that grows to like a pretty reasonable amount of data to like 65 with like 50 games. A lot of people at high elo think she's really, really good. She definitely has weaknesses, like the fact that you do lose control of your character is like it's scary, but she has so much like so many stats behind her that like she's good, man. People have started building her as kind of like a maybe not tank. Tank is definitely the wrong way to describe it, but like you build Gore Drinker rather than like or Stride Breaker rather than full like DPS that people were doing Bork on her like day one, right? And now people are doing like kind of these tanky like Gore Drinker builds,
Stride Breaker. Yeah.
There's one guy in Korea who does like a full lethality build. There's a Lol Dobby video that he put out about how people in Korea are playing it right now. I'd go check that out. But for the most part, the build is building either Gore Drinker, Stride Breaker into like kind of your typical bruiser items, you know, Black Cleavers, Steric's Gauge, GA's, Death Stance, like stuff like that. She's really good though. She probably needs nerfs. Like, is like the reality.
I've played against her maybe four or five times, and I feel like from what I've seen, most of the people were new on the character and ran it down as you expect. But I played like one game against a Briar that was ahead, and it was just like, holy shit, she has so many stats.
You trade the stats for control of your character, right? Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just a matter of.
I honestly think like so. I've watched a lot of League content, and part of that is has been like Briar impressions and things like that, and you know gameplay. I honestly think that, like if you don't want to int as Briar, just like don't throw your ultimate out unless you're positive it's gonna land. I feel like half the things that I see are just like, oh, I missed my Briar ult on someone I thought I was gonna hit. Oh, it hit someone in base and now I'm dead. Like,
yeah, so the developer Riot August was like putting out some tips for people, and it's like a lot of stuff is just like it makes sense, right? Like stuff like you need to save your E, right? You have to use it defensively. You have to use it to break out of your berserks, right? If you're using your E aggressively, then going into berserk, it just means they know what you're doing. Your character is just going to auto attack shit, and it's so easy to play around. Like, if you know the enemy's going to just chase you and auto attack for 4 seconds, there's so many things that you can do to outplay that character.
Yeah, exactly.
One of the biggest things he said, like, in his, he has like a notepad of like 10 things. I'm sure you can just Google like Riot August, like Briar tips or whatever. But like, my favorite thing is practice restraint. Good Briars know when not to use their abilities, which I think is really, really good.
Yeah, and I think that's applicable to all characters, Briar especially, but like the difference between people who know when to use their ability versus like know when not to is huge.
I mean, that's like any character, right?
Yeah.
Like Fiora is probably a very good example of another character. Like if you use your riposte poorly, you're probably going to do worse than if you had saved it for, you know, the proper time.
Yeah, or even just, like, having not used it all, right? Like, I think the biggest example, like, or a very commonly cited one, right, is, like, Hook characters. Where it's like, you throw Hook and miss, you're not a character anymore. But if you just run around and never use the ability, you're creating so much pressure, even if you, like, you could not put a point in Q as Blitzcrank and exert tons of pressure in the game because they're always going to be looking for it.
Yeah, it's probably just like super, super amplified as Briar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, where it's like if you miss a Blitzcrank, really cool. You're weak for 8 seconds.
You haven't killed yourself.
Yeah. You haven't killed yourself.
Do you see the Reddit post that's like one thing I like about Briar, and it's like it is kind of cool that if she goes in, someone's dying. It might
That is kind of cool. I also saw that apparently she has zero counterplay and can one hit multiple people because her ult fears and her E has 660 plus 340% AP damage.
Yeah. She also brought up the classic debate of can you ban your teammates' characters if they hover in rank? I haven't seen that in a long time.
I feel like, so I guess this is like, I don't know, I wish we had more time to go in the guffaws, but I feel like I've seen so much, like, I don't want to say like toxicity surrounding like a certain character, but definitely like discussion regarding toxicity around a character. Like you were saying, it's the like banning your character's champion, or just as soon as someone locks it in, you just like start turbo running it because the win rate's so low. Mm-hmm. Or like, should you even be allowed to play new characters in ranked, like when they come out?
It was a lot of discussion that is like a bi-weekly for a different discussion. Yeah. Like, because I think we all have similar opinions, but I think they're like interesting.
I think my opinions changed from what it used to be, so that'll be a good discussion.
If you want to throw it in there, we can do it like next week with the agent agency discussion as well. But yeah, I think she's cool. Like, I really wish she wasn't a child character. I'm at the point in my life where I don't want to play just children characters.
Yeah, I think back to what you were saying about like trying to talk to someone who doesn't know what League is, and you are explaining like, oh, I play this character and, you know, this is what they do and this is what they look like, and how embarrassing that would be if you were like
a Lilia main.
Yeah, I play Lily, or yeah, I play like this child vampire who has her toes out.
It's just, I don't know.
She's got the dog.
Like,
out.
If you enjoy playing it, whatever, like, I think enjoyment of character comes first.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Like, I just have zero desire to play that character, man.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah. I feel like I have less of an issue because, like, I'm looking way more at the gameplay than, like, what they are now.
Like, I mean, don't lie to yourself, Colton. You haven't played a character that has released after 2015.
Yeah, because they all suck and are boring.
You're, like, the least vocal League purist I've ever seen.
The wild thing is, like, I used to always get the new character and like play them.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But then maybe after 8 years of doing that, I just stopped doing it.
Yeah.
But it's, yeah, I don't know. Like, I think her, I'm definitely gonna try playing her at some point. It is weird where I feel like she's one of the characters where, yeah, you just need to put like 10 games in to not suck. But I think on the same page as a lot of people who do have more experience with her, where I think she is very, very strong if played well. And I think the weakness of like her going berserk and just hitting whatever isn't really that big of a weakness in a lot of situations, right? Like in a messy dragon fight at the start, sure, that's problematic, but it's like, if I'm jungling and I roll up to your red buff and I smite the red buff, like, yeah, all I want to do is run at you and auto attack. There's nothing else.
Right? Especially if you like, if you are saving your E otherwise, right? Because then it's like, okay, this isn't a good berserk. I'll just use my E to cancel it.
Yeah.
Like then the downsides are like non-existent, you know?
Mm-hmm. I did experience one thing with Briar that I thought was very funny. I think Aiden was there for it. It was a game I played Garen mid, and I was like super, super ahead. And at one point I like went top, killed their top laner, and then was probably about half health, like 1.5 items top. And I was, I think, level 11, and the Briar that came to try to kill me was level 8, walked in and fought me inside of a full minion wave. And I like killed her and ulted her with my level, you know, level 2. I'm 11, so I've got rank 2 ultimate. And she's like,
oh yeah,
so unbalanced, your character's broken. It's like, dude, you're 3 levels down. I have an item and a half. Like, I have Garen W, I had steel caps, like, you had only she had Trinity Force only, no boots, nothing else. And like,
so Trinity Force on Briar?
You don't understand, though. Like, they just don't make characters like they used to.
Yeah, they just don't make them like they used to. It was just so funny to me that she was like I should have won that. I should have been able to run into you in a full wave, 3 levels down items. You have rank 2 ultimate. I should have won that fight. Like, no, it's kind of like the 80 carry plays where it's like, I should be able to get Blitzcrank hooked into Malphite R and then still win that team fight. No, you shouldn't.
Also, like we were talking about, like low games played. I only have four characters that I have zero mastery points on, and they're Belveth, Briar, Nefiri, and Nile.
Is that all? There's been someone. Oh, Emilio has come between.
I have one or two games on Emilio, so I just thought
if that was like the four most recent. It's the three most recent.
Cassante's also in. Cassante's after Belveth, right? I think so.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've been playing him on ARAM. I'm a bit of an ARAM Cassante.
True.
But it's just fun. I don't play new characters. I like new characters though. I'm not like I hate them. I just don't play them. Mm-hmm. But cool. Next week we'll talk about agency and league. Maybe we'll talk about toxicity a little bit, about like champion select stuff. Cool.
Let's move into the roundtable then. Oh, I'm sorry, competitive league, Swiss format.
Yeah, I just want to talk about Swiss a little bit. So they've changed their mind of how they're running their Swiss for Worlds. Swiss, by the way, is the format. Just think of it this way. Every team starts out 0-0, obviously. You play against another team, and you either win or lose. So you're either 1-0 or 0-1. So all the 1-0 teams play against each other, and then either they win or lose, and then you have teams, and all the 0-1 teams play against each other. So you have teams that are now 2-0, 1-1, or 0-2, and then there's 1-2 teams as well, right? I guess is the way to look at it. And then all those teams with a similar scoreline playing against each other, and you do that until you either win three series or lose three series. So that's how Swiss works. That's what they're using as the main stage format for Worlds. They're doing best of ones for everything other than games where you either get promoted. So when you're playing your third series to promote to the knockout stage, you're doing a best of three. Or if you're playing your series that's going to knock you out of the tournament, you play a best of three, which I think is a cool adaption to Swiss. Originally they said they weren't going to seed at all, which I was like, oh, that's interesting, because I think the issue with Swiss is that if you don't seed Swiss perfectly, it leads to a lot of fuck scenarios, right? That's the main issue. So I'm like, okay, honestly, them not seeding at all is kind of like good. And the only rule they have is in round one, you can't have same region play same region. But then they have since then changed it so that seed one plays seed four in round one, and same region can't play same region, which that's just not proper seeding, which is going to lead to more issues than it should. The reality is, like, they just don't want to showcase the disparity between like the East and the West. Because if you were to seed this game properly, you'd have like LPL 1, LCK 1, LCK 2, LPL 2, LCK 3, LCL 3, LCK 4, LCL 4, and then it'd be like EU 1, right? Like that's how they should properly seed it, right? And that's how you'd avoid like having scenarios where some teams might get an easy or bad ride. Just as an example, so like this is how it could currently work. You could have a team like, let's just say Cloud9 here, right? Cloud9 could get out of Swiss stage by beating Fnatic, because they're Cloud9 seed 2 and Fnatic seed 3, and then they win that, and they get to play Team Liquid, and if they beat Team Liquid, they play G2 to get out, right? That could be Cloud9's path, right? Whereas you could have the worst case scenario is someone like Gen.G, who's probably like is LCK 1, LCK, so they're Gen.G, they play, let me pull this up, they play Weibu, who's LPL 4, they beat Weibu, right? They beat the fourth LPL team, probably harder than all the NA or EU teams, then they go into like 1-0 stage, where they have to play T1, they have to play T1, right? So they beat T1 as well, they beat LCK 2, and then they go to state, they're 2-0 now, so now they have to play JDG, to get out, right? And okay, they don't beat JDG, so they lose. That's fine, whatever. They're now 2-1, right? So now they have to play BLG, LPL, their third team. Oh, and they lose to BLG's LPL 2. So now they're at 2-2 stage, and now they have to play KT Rolster, right? It's like, oof. Dude, the difference, like, obviously this is all like just what could happen, but the fact, like, a team can just play a bunch of Western teams, or you can play like, I don't know, five of the eight hardest teams at the tournament. Like, I don't know.
That's crazy.
That's why seeding is really, really important in stuff like this. And The fact that they're not properly seeding it means we might get an upset. The reality is, I think this format's still better than what Worlds used to do, just because we're going to see a lot of matches between a lot of people we don't usually see. It just isn't a good format at determining who actually is the best, right? You can get fucking turbo fucked in this format just based on like random draws.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I just think it's crazy. Like, fucking, dude, Gen G could not make Worlds because they had to play Weibo, T1, JDG, KT Rolster, and BLG. Whereas G2 could get out because they beat Cloud9, Team Liquid, and Golden Guardians.
That is pretty funny.
I don't know. It's just like, that's the scenario. So Swiss is like a bit of a mess. I'm excited for it still. I think it will be fun. I just think that like people are... The reality is MSI's format was infinitely better, and I'm so surprised that they didn't just do it again for Worlds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But either way, it's cool. I just like pointing out the flaws with Swiss. Swiss is really fun. It showcases a lot of fun matches, but it definitely can... It's going to be really upsetting if a team, like, let's just say NRG, for example, gets out by beating... they could beat Loud, G2, and then Cloud9. And then people are saying NRG is... the eighth best team in the world, because that's what the broadcast will tout, right? Because that's what they're... I mean,
yeah, they're not top
gonna,
eight.
Yeah, exactly. They're not going to like obviously be like, well, they didn't really make it there. It's like, and I do agree. It's also shitty to like shit on them. I'm not saying that you should shit on a team that gets out. I just think there's going to be some whack opinions.
Yeah, it may not be the perfect representation of like where every team's, you know, strength is.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the time that when you look at Swiss for some Smash tournaments have been using Swiss, right, for like invitationals and stuff like that. And one thing that you have to do in Swiss is you shouldn't look at placement as much as you should look at the quality of the wins that you had, right?
Yeah, if you're a G2 and you lose to, I don't know, the three best teams in the world,
yeah,
like even though you finish lower than someone who won like any games, you're like your level of play could be higher, and that should be like, you know, taken into account, I guess.
Yeah, let's just say Gen G gets that like fucked path where they play like five of the six best teams in the world, whatever, right? I wouldn't say they're not a top eight team. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
like you just look at the fact, oh no, they beat like a bunch of good teams still, and they lost to like even better teams, right, that no other team has. It's just like you have to look at quality of wins. It's not like the end of the world. I just think it's like something to note that I don't think a lot of people are... I mean, there's no like backlash for this. The reality is it just should have been seeded properly.
Yeah.
If you're going to use this format, sure, you have to seed it properly. Mm-hmm. Which, once again, is like, I know Riot doesn't want to say like LPL 1 through 3 and LCK 1 through 3 are better than all NA and EU teams, but you could have done like even a system where like all the casters, all of the teams vote, and then you average the vote and then throw out obviously any outliers.
Yeah, right? That's a really good idea. I like
that. Like another way, like some things do that. Like I've heard like CSGO tournaments have done that before. Like obviously, like if someone says T1's the 16th best team, you just throw out their vote because like they trolled their ballot. It has to be within a range. But the idea is that you get a kind of agreed upon seeding system, right?
Mm-hmm.
But either way, I'm excited. I'm Worlds is still like a full month away, which is fucking crazy to me.
Because I know it's such a long time, but yeah,
Asian games that are being played on patch 13.12, by the way,
very funny,
from June.
Hell yeah, awesome. Should we move into roundtable?
Yeah, I'll talk some more. Last week's question was, if you had to cook and eat one jungle camp, what would you choose and how would you prepare it? From our Twitter, Sir Fishy said, kill raptors, scream, winner, winner, chicken dinner, profit. One Who Naps said, hell yeah, I submitted this one. I know someone submitted it. I couldn't remember who did, so thank you for announcing that.
Yeah, nice.
I'm killing Krugs for some mineral flavor and steaming scuttle crab in a mineral water bath. Hell yeah. And then from our Discord, we got a couple of Heckin' Doofus said scuttle crab cakes. Elzea said raptor chicken nuggies grilled on top of Aureliosaurus with Brand's fire. Brandon said dragon bone stew. Sounds like more of something eaten in Skyrim, but it sounds good to eat, especially on a cold winter's night. And then Feast Forever says ocean dragon. Who doesn't love a good little seafood barbecue? Colton and Nick wouldn't. Eating a whole dragon sounds like such a flex. Cool. This week's roundtable question is, if you had to make a League of Legends toy, what would it be and why?
Well, that's hard.
I mean, I think my immediate go-to would be, like, you could make Nerf guns for any character with guns. Like, if I could buy Lucian's guns as, like, Nerf guns, you best believe if they were under $100, I'd buy them.
Hmm.
But Riot would probably be like, oh, yeah, we made these out of fucking silver, and they're $400.
That is very funny.
I'll go with mine. Okay. I was thinking a Scion train set.
That's I was cool. also thinking about that one.
Or like any sort of like RC car with like it could be like Corki or a car characters that I can't think of.
I want Hungry Hippos, but it's Tom Kench and Cho'Gath and two other characters. That's kind of sick, yeah.
Man, I just don't have anything good.
That's all right, man. You don't play with toys anymore.
I'll say like a little Blitzcrank, like little grabby arm.
Oh, that's actually kind of sick. Yeah, it's sick.
Like, yeah, like one of those grabby arms, but it's just like super spring loaded, so you really gotta aim it right.
If you want to tell us what you would make as a League of Legends toy and what would it be, you can hit us up on our Twitter at LeagueCast. Send us an email, mail@leaguecastpodcast.com, or come into our Discord and post in our roundtable section. Also, fucking suggest trivia questions and announcements, please. You'll get a prize, maybe.
Cool. Ooh. Let's move. Oh, my God. What is this? Oh, is Colton hiding it? Let's move on to Malphite. The first email is from Large Dad. What's up, my lads? Colton and Nick. Not Aiden because he got blown away by the storm last week, along with my email, God rest his soul. I've recently been on a deep dive into classical music, and by far my favorite composer has to be Tchaikovsky. Yeah. Ooh, that's close. His pieces of Swan Lake, Valse Sentimentale, whatever, and six pieces are truly magnificent, and I really hope he comes to Atlanta to play soon so I can see him perform in person. It would be quite amazing. But without further ado, on to this week's joke.
It's just like random scribbles. I feel like he's doing this intentionally now because we didn't read the last one to make it seem like...
Just read it quick.
Why do Norwegian ships have barcodes on them so they can Scandinavian...
That's pretty good.
But it's
a good 7 out of 10.
Next email.
Thank you, Larstad.
Yeah. Next email from Domination. Hello, LeagueCast. You guys are tripping balls. The best camp to eat is very clearly the scuttle crab. It's a giant crab. Imagine the meat from those legs and claws. Delicious. Cheers. I think it's more just us. I feel like lots of people really like crab. I'm not a huge fan of crab. Nick, how about you?
I mean, I'm just not a big fan of seafood.
There you go.
Crab's good, by the way.
Yeah, like I'm not against it in concept. It's just not for me. Mm-hmm. You just got the wrong hosts for that one. But Aiden would
say yeah, that's very true.
Could we make Colton scuttle crab kind of... pizza?
True. You know what's better than crab? Pizza.
Pizza.
Thanks, Domination. Next email is from Rippin' Fat Doinks. Greetings, LeagueCast crew. It's Rippin' Fat Doinks. I've been a long time no-hear situation since my last email complaining about my ranked woes as Diana OTP. Long story short, I have been stagnating in the mid lane ever since our last contact. First split of this year, I was constantly beating my lane opponents in 1v1s, but felt that my team was letting me down by not being strong enough to match my play, to match my pace. It was frustrating to work as hard as I thought I was, only to once again be granted a Tarnished Silver Participation Award for my hours of struggle. I took a break from the game between the end of Split 1 and the beginning of Split 2 to focus on personal life. When I felt the craving to try a ranked climb again, I thought about what aspects of my matches I could change to see better success. As you've said on the podcast before, the only common factor in all of your games is you. I was tired of the mid lane and its constant 3v1s, where my team pretended not to see me get dove on repeat, tired of feeling like I was the only one on my team, and tired of not having presence on the map. I decided to try my hand at bringing the Maiden of the Moon to the jungle with a fresh approach to cater toward objective plays and helping my teammates. I started watching King Nidhogg's instructional videos on his YouTube channel, great content, about the basics of jungle tracking, gank timings, and how to convert a lead. From there, things just started to make sense. I had an epiphany under the moonfall. I'm sorry, under the moonlight of the rift. I wasn't losing because my team was bad. I was losing because I wasn't playing with the team I had. From there, it was smooth sailing out of silver, and as of yesterday, I am proud to say I have achieved my goal that I've been working towards since my introduction to League in Season 10. I broke into gold with a 67% win rate, and I'm still steadily maintaining my percentage with my eyes set on platinum as a new high. Just wanted to say to anyone listening that it is possible to reach your goals, but sometimes it might take some thinking outside the box and stepping into new shoes to make it happen. Keep up the good work, Rippin' Fat Doinks, Diana Enjoyer. That's really nice to hear. I think that's really good perspective to have is, you know, take all the blame and just fix what you can try to fix and eventually you'll climb. Because I think even if it's not true, right, even if you're playing like perfectly and it is your team's fault every single time, like without fail, I think if you have the view that like the game is just out to get you and matchmaking is doomed and it's loser's queue and all that, like your account is cursed, like, it's with that perspective in mind, what, like, you just shouldn't even play the game. I think it's actually going to be like harming you if you decide to continue playing if you have that mindset, even if that was the case 100% of the time. So well done, Rippin' Fat Doinks.
Congrats.
I hope you get to platinum.
Yeah. Next email is from Dippy. I like what you guys were saying about items filling a specific niche and only furthering one goal at a time, for example, wave clear or single target damage. I wanted to add that I think it's a good thing when a character can buy items from other classes and see some upside. I think it's good if AD carries, assassins, and artillery mages can buy one or two tank items and be a little bit beefier and also not be trolling. The need for optimal damage builds is a major contribution to the damage creep players are always talking about. Buying a one-off tank item in your DPS build should be something you can do without destroying your win rate. And they add another kind of separate adjacent idea for Crown of the Shattered Queen. He says, it should never have been a mage mythic, but a pure defensive item that gives a burst of defenses that a full tank wouldn't care about. But an artillery mage or AD carry would. It should also be for ranged champs only. Some items really should just be ranged or melee characters only. It's healthier that way. Dippy.
So it was designed as an artillery mage item.
Yeah. At very first, wasn't it designed as a support, like an enchanter item?
I think it was like the example they use in the original thing is Xerath buying it.
Were they? I thought initially it was pitched as like a support item that you would purchase to keep to keep yourself safe, but in the like literal sense, not the memeing one.
I think where, so, it was always the 3k gold. It was never like a support item cost range. Maybe I'm wrong.
I guess though. I just have this like maybe Mandela effect, like where I have this thought of Riot saying like now you can ward safely without your team.
Yeah, I don't personally remember that, but okay. Maybe like I'd believe it.
It's okay. Either way, it is kind of like pitched as that. And I think it is like still sort of an artillery mage item. Maybe not the new iteration that they're discussing, that they implemented. But the old one, you know, you bought it on artillery mages or poke mages or, you know, something long range. I think there is, like, back to your first point, I personally think there is value in buying like a single defensive item or like building more defensively. I do think there's a lot of merit to Aiden. I know you hold this position of like, you just fuck your build entirely if you aren't building pure damage in the case of like damage dealers, right? Mm-hmm. But I think there is like a little bit of value to, you know, instead of getting one shot, I guess you like live or you get, you know, killed over the course of, you know, 2 seconds instead of half a second. I think there's like a tiny bit of value there, and you do lose a lot of damage if you're building like a pure defensive item. And I think there are some like niche situations where you don't have good defensive items. That being said, like we're currently in a meta where like damage is really high because people are building like exclusively damage. So I am almost happy to see like, you know, AD carries getting one hit by Rengars, even though they have like armor, because Rengars are building full damage, and that's Rengar's purpose, right? Is to one hit squishy champs, regardless of kind of what you build. So I understand the frustration behind like, I can't build a defensive item because they don't work and I just neuter my damage. But I think like, while people are building full damage, it's good. Like, it's good for the game.
Yeah, I understand your mindset. I just think like the my biggest thing is that I think AD carry as a role specifically is a game of like inches, and it's like, man, if you go not like full like optimal damage, you just get like the stats difference is just so crazy, right? Like even like,
yeah, it drops off a cliff.
The time I kind of justified is if you're so far ahead, you can justify building like a hybrid like defensive attack damage item. But like, even then, it's like, fuck, are you far enough ahead that you're not just gonna give the enemy AD carry like the way back into the game if they play a team fight perfectly? It's just hard for me to justify ever.
Yeah, and I think like I think the more I think about it, like some, I mean, I don't think things like Rengar as an AD carry should have perfect counter or sufficient counterplay, right? Like, I don't think you should ever be at a point where you shouldn't be scared, because at that point, like, Rengar's just a worthless champion who should never be picked. Sure. But I think, like, in the case of, you know, fitting a Wit's End or a Maw into your build, or maybe sometimes you slot in like a Death Stance if you're like super desperate, or maybe even go Black Cleaver just to get extra health. It's like, versus characters who like will do a lot of like chip damage, or maybe tank characters who have a lot of like high base damage, but as soon as you build like a single defensive item, like, you're never gonna die to Ornn solo if you have any MR, right? Or Rammus becomes so much less of a threat to you as an AD carry if you build some magic resist to counter his thorns damage, where like I think that is good for the game. But so I guess in that sense, I would like to see more like variability in builds in terms of like defensiveness, but not like perfect answers to every single situation.
I also think there are just good options that people just don't build. Like, we're mostly talking, like, we're referencing this one game where like it's Tyler One reacting to a game where he's playing Tristana, yeah, and there's an AD carry in Ezreal in the game who is really, really strong. And he even has Frozen Heart, I believe, and he just keeps getting like,
yeah,
I'm gonna say one hit. Mm-hmm. It's not one hit, because Rengar jumps on him, does like 85% of his HP. Ezreal E's or flashes away, then Rengar flashes and kills him immediately, and he does it like three times because they have magic flash timers. And obviously, the weakness of Rengar is once he uses that jump, unless he's near like bushes, he has no way to gap close on any carries ever. The issue is like, if he just can match flashes, it's the equivalent of like kind of just having like a second jump, you know what I mean? The counterplay, though, that I'm surprised, like, I don't see more people do against, like, a character like Rengar is, like, build, like, Zhonya's or build Stopwatch or whatever, right? Like, if you Stopwatch that first engage, that's where you have the counterplay, right? Like, that character is just a sitting duck, right?
Yeah.
Or even, like, I think you slot in, like Plated Steel Caps. Doesn't his Q count as an auto attack?
Yeah, I don't know if it's
reduced, like,
the biggest thing is like the first Q does 85% of his HP, so I think he probably overkills him by like 40% is like the biggest
thing. I guess what I mean is like Steel Caps and Frozen Heart, like in that scenario, right?
Yeah.
Like where like you reduce it even further.
The biggest thing you have to do in like League of Legends, and I don't think this is very easy to do in the middle of a game, especially like, oh my god, I have to switch my build now to fix this. Like, that's fucking just impossible. But going into games is thinking about, like, what character's strengths and weaknesses are. Because I do think, like, if before you build that Frozen, or before you build that Frozen Heart, if you go, okay, what does Rengar do? He jumps in on me, and I flash away, and he flashes after me, and he kills me. Like, if instead of you build Frozen Heart, you build Zhonya's, which it's not great on Ezreal, but it's not a troll item on Ezreal by any means.
He can make use of the stats.
Yeah, it's like, dude, like, that game is so much easier to play, I think.
and at the level he's playing at, like, I don't think this is a recommendation for like this particular like niche scenario. Like you shouldn't do this at a gym. Yeah, you shouldn't do this if you're silver, right? Because you probably, like, realistically speaking, just don't have the reaction times or the like the game knowledge to understand when he's actually jumping in and when he's like just getting close to you. But
also, I don't think the Rengar probably is statted or like farmed up enough typically in most games to ever do 80% of your
HP. Or like proficient with his combo, right?
Yeah.
So like, but in this like super high level of play, like, yeah, you should be able to react to that, and Zhonya's be a perfect counter. I also think like, if you're a squishy champion regardless of your build, and there's a like super fed Rengar on the other team, it doesn't matter what the optimal thing is. You just have to stay by your team for the rest of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just the game state, right? Like, that's how you play against Rengar.
Just to give credit to AD carries, I fucking hate AD carries, by the way. I do think there are just these miserable game states.
Yeah,
where I think Rengar is a great example, where it's like, it's not even like a Zed, right? It's not like even like he's throwing skill shots or whatever. It's he right clicks on you. And he does that
no counterplay.
Or mm-hmm. like the other one that fucking always annoys me, which he's a worse character, so it's less bad, but like is Nocturne, right? Like there's games, man, where Nocturne ults you, dude, you're dead. There is nothing you're doing. And it's one of those things where it's like, fuck, if you think about this maybe 20 minutes before it becomes an issue, maybe you can deal with it. But if you're trying to deal with Rengar one hitting or a Nocturne one hitting you after it happens the first time, you're too late, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I wanted to jump in. I mean, I think a lot of this has kind of already been covered, but like specifically to the Rengar example, part of it is even like if Ezreal's playing it properly, it shouldn't matter that his flash matches yours because you have two flashes and one of them's on an 8-second cooldown. Secondly, I think like, right, Frozen Heart is a good item there, but I feel like, right, like if you really want to like maximize reduction of Rengar's damage, can just like get Randuin's, right? Like it gives health, which Frozen Heart doesn't at all, and it's gonna reduce like more damage.
Yeah, I think the consideration there was that like Ezreal with Manamune doesn't lose as much damage mm-hmm. by going Frozen Heart versus going like a more defensive item. And that was sort of the justification for like why he could even slot in a defensive item there. Like in that, I also don't think Frozen Heart was perfect, but it is probably the best option. Like there.
Yeah, I mean, like I think really realistically the best option, like Aiden was saying, is just get a stopwatch.
Azonius, yeah.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Because like what you're going to get if you do that is if it's like a first strike Rengar, you're going to be able to wait out that like first strike window a lot better, as well as like dodging a full Q. And if it's like electrocute, you're going to stop that electrocute proc from happening, as well as like giving you the time to reposition and maybe your team a little bit of time to react. But yeah, if he's jumping on you and he's getting like Q, E, W, and then probably a second Q if he's doing the combo right at all, like yeah, he kind of should die. And I feel like it's weird that the itemization like conversation typically in this regard, I feel like it always happens around like AD assassins, where it's like, well, this AD assassin is going to 100-0 me regardless of what I do. But then like people don't have, I feel like, similar complaints where it's like, if Malzahar or Skarner is in the meta, people aren't always all being like, it's like wild that I have to buy QSS. It's like, no, they just do it. You just buy it. Yeah. And like, that's one of the strengths of the character, is like, not that Malzahar is particularly good, it's that three players on the enemy team have to burn 1300 gold. Right. It's like, okay, if people were doing the same thing, it's like, okay, they have a Rengar on their team, I guess everyone's going stopwatch, but people don't.
Yeah,
do that.
For sure. Yeah, no, I agree. I think itemization is definitely something that's not thought a lot about. I do like want to continue to reiterate though. I do think it's really hard in the middle of a game to like change.
Yeah.
Itemization. I think it's something that like very few players do going into like the game, and it's fucking so hard. Like when you're getting just shit on to like be like, okay, in 3,000 gold, I'm gonna build this item. It's like, no, you need to build that 3,000 gold to go.
I also think it's like very, very, very difficult for damage dealers specifically to have to like make that transition, right? Because like if you're in Ezreal and you have to try to slot in a defensive item, you also have to not do damage. Like you have to deal damage still, right? And like there are some fights that are just gonna be determined by, oh, my Ezreal built the defensive item, so we didn't have enough damage to win this fight. So, exactly. Like, it's definitely hard. It's definitely hard. I also, like, want to say that I think AD carry players are getting a lot of heat, specifically in our Discord.
Good.
And I think I want to make a little public declaration that I think we, as a whole, are grouping a lot of, like, Reddit 80 carries into, you know, so just general 80 carries, I guess. I don't think it's every 80 carry that has these opinions, you know, that that we disagree with.
Yeah, I'll apologize. I think 80 carries are actually really, really smart and maybe smarter than support players.
I just don't want us to live in a world where someone is listening and they play 80 carry and their favorite host just said to them, I fucking hate 80 carry players.
Just play a different role if you want my sympathy.
I don't hate 80 carry players. I get frustrated at players who make complaints that are founded in their inability to play the game, and that happens to overlap very heavily with the 80 carry player population.
I also think a lot of it is like, I am the protagonist of this game. Mm-hmm. And I think that Venn diagram is like pretty circular for players and 80 carries.
Yeah. I mean, like, we'll talk about it a little bit on the agency discussion, but like a lot of it comes down to the fact that, like, fuck man, the role in 80 carries player is that they play marksman bottom when it, like, in reality it's bot lane carries, and
yeah,
if they just played other shit, dude, all their concerns would just be so, like, minimized. Not fully it minimized. I had a good discussion with Dan, who I really respect as an 80 carry. He's one of the intelligent ones. One thing we don't talk a lot about is that 80 carry supports and jungles pick early in rotation. So, like, it's much harder to build your character based on team comp compared to other roles, right?
Yeah, it is more frequently that you're going to get counterpicked as a bot laner than you are as a top or mid laner, because your team is just allowing those solo lanes to get counterpick. Yeah.
Yeah. Or you just might get shafted by like the enemy team comp outside of your lane. Like maybe you get a 50-50 lane matchup, but you're playing, let's go with just like Lethality Jhin. Let's say Lethality Jhin is really good right now. And then they pick like Rammus jungle, Ornn top. And it's like, I'm never killing those two people, but my team's going to get mad at me because I'm the 80 carry and I'm supposed to kill the tanks. And it's like,
that being said, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, I do think we look at it like a lot of the time, like after the fact, like, oh, this is what you picked Jinx into all these assassins, you dumb idiot. Why didn't you just pick Ziggs? And then you figure out that they first picked Jinx because obviously their top laner and their mid laner wanted counterpick. And it's like, I don't know. Like, I understand that part. And I think that's something we have to give more credit for. That being said, fuck man, we give fucking assassin only players the same amount of shit, right? Like, I'm an 80 assassin only player and my role sucks right now. It's like, yeah, fucking play a mage mid then. That's the
I main Talon and I keep losing to Vex. Stop playing Talon or ban Vex.
That being said, it's absolutely insane to me that you go to UGG, you sort by win rate for bot lane, you see
that the Swain, top 5 win rate
Karthus,
are the lowest 5
Seraphine. Rate. You see Swain, Karthus, Seraphine. Those are the top 3 by win rate in the 80k role.
And then you
sort by pick rate, right? You sort by pick rate, and you see those characters at the bottom 5 only beaten out by Veigar 80 carry and Senna 80 carry. Like, there's so much power in this role behind, like, picks that these players just don't want to play. It's like, to me, this is very similar to when top laners were going through the, like, roaming enchanter meta, where, like, I understand, like, it sucks wiener to play as that or against it. However, the role, like, this playstyle is just really, really strong, and it's still not being played by the player base.
Yeah.
And even that, I think, was, like, more justifiable as to why you wouldn't want to play it.
Yeah. My whole discussion was, look at top, which, once again, there are tons of people who only play tanks and only play bruisers, right? Like, and they don't play a mix. But I do think, like, in general, that's a role that has more people who play a mix of the two, right? And in my head, it's like, in a perfect world, I think you play tanks 65% of the time and you play carries 35% of the time, just because, like, it's much easier to blind pick top tanks than it is to blind pick top tanks. And it's like, okay, we can come up with that equation for every role, right? And for bottom lane, like, what percentage of the time should you be playing 80 carries, like a marksman or a mage, right? And it's got to be at least like 20% of the time for mages, right? Like, that's like minimum, I would say. Like,
I feel like it has to be higher than that, going back to your point where if you're first picking, right?
Yeah.
Why would you just show, hey, I'm gonna play Kai'Sa, she's really strong right now, go ahead and pick the best characters into my character because I have first pick for the rest of my team. Like, why wouldn't you pick Karthus and then, oh, is it jungle Karthus? Like, is it carry? Is this their mid laner? Like, in some case? I just feel like there's so much power behind it, and I don't know why we're still forcing Caitlyn, why we're still forcing, you know, bad characters.
Let's just say we come up with, like, the number of 25% of the time you should be playing mage as bottom. Let's just, whatever, that's the magic number, sure. Right? Mm. What percentage of bottom lane players have 25% of their games or more on mages?
That's really hard because I feel like my answer is probably zero.
It's like
unless you main those characters.
It'll be like 5% of the player base. Right? It'll be like 5% of the player base will be 50% mages, and then 95% will still be all marksmen.
That's mm-hmm. like that's the whole like, and obviously like maybe I'm biased, and maybe like the split top lane isn't like how many top laners like play a mix of at least 30% of the other type, like tanks versus bruisers. It's more than 5%, right? Like it might not be as high as I think it is because I'm biased, but like it's higher than like like AD carry mage split. Or like let's look at, I think the best way to look at junglers is like high like full clearing or like ganking junglers. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of junglers play a pretty good mix of those, or even mid lane. I think the best way to look at mid lane is high prio versus low prio mids, right? You can look at mages versus assassins, but I think that's more niche. But like high pro versus mid pro, I think there's a pretty good like split. And it's really just AD carries that don't have the split, man. Or like supports is the fucking most obvious one. Engage versus enchanter, right? Like,
mm-hmm. Even versus poke, like, you know, that's, I feel like that's very uncommon where we're at in League, but like you go lower and Zyra is a contested pick.
Yeah, I just think it's like one of those things where like I'm obviously biased a little bit in this, but I do think that like they're not giving it a fair shot, man. Like I think AD carries are the most stubborn in their picks, which I think is due to the fact that fucking AD carry was the only thing you played down there for 8 years. But
also like if that's the style of play that you enjoy, I understand that. Like I totally get that.
And yeah, for sure.
If that's what you're arguing for, like I understand. However, I think arguing about the lack of agency that we'll talk about like next week in the role.
Yeah.
Or
remove some of that.
How everything is like super frustrating to play against because it takes you so long to come online and everyone just builds like to count, like play the stuff that's good. Stop picking Kai'Sa 30 times more than you're picking Karthus, Seraphine, Swain.
Yeah. I don't know, it's just like it just seems like they're creating more barriers for yourself just for the sake of it, but I don't know. It's a bunch of discussions being had at the same time all under the guise of one, which I think are all interesting nuanced discussions by themselves.
Mm-hmm. definitely
we'll talk about it in agency discussion next week because I have some crazy things I'm gonna come up with.
Ooh, okay.
I'll just as a preview for next week, my new thing that I started doing is in a game where you're doing well, right? And this can be any role, but I think AD carry makes a lot of sense, right? Let's just say you come out of lane 5-0.
I like this thought process, by the way.
And your team's all losing, or most of them are losing, right? A lot of people will say they can't win the game because AD carry is low agency. And what if Guma, Yushi, Viper, Ruler, Deft, whoever is playing AD carry? They sit in your chair and they start playing. Can they win that game?
Sometimes it'll be no.
Most of the time it'll be yes. And I'm not saying you're fucking any of these players. Like don't get me wrong. Like I'm not saying, oh yeah, all you have to do is just play like a challenger player or play like a pro player. I'm saying that there obviously is agency. There's things that you can do right to win this game, right? Like obviously, like you're as whatever ELO player you are, you maybe don't have the skills to do that, but that doesn't mean there's not agency. It just means it's not mechanically in your wheelhouse.
And it's
And that's okay.
I want to add, it's not necessarily just mechanics. Like, there could be something else. And I think that as a thought exercise, if you take it, like, one level further, let's say, like, I think a lot of our listener base is in, like, silver or gold. So we have some, like, good level of mix where it's like, okay, let's start with, could Guma Yushi win from here? Yes, 99% of the time. Okay, let's say Dan, like, GM, High Master, AD carry player. Could Dan Man win this game? You know, maybe it's 97% now. Could Colton, like a sometimes D1, D2 AD carry player win here? Maybe like 60% of the time.
Crazy.
Maybe like 60% of the time he could win this game. And then like, you know, another AD carry I can think of in our Discord who's been talking a lot lately. He's like, Oklahoman. I think he's like D4 area, D3 area, right? But it's like, you know, that ratio is going to change as you go down. But again, it's like you don't have to play at Gumayushi's level. It's just, again, right? Like, okay, maybe if you were playing at, you know, let's say you're a gold one player. If you were playing at a D4 level, you win this game 60% of the time. But if you're playing at a gold one level, you win this game only, you know, 48% of the time. Okay, you don't have not enough agency. You're just not playing well enough to win this game, whether it be your mechanics, your decision-making, whatever it might be. Like,
This point isn't to like shit on someone for like not being good enough. It's the point that roles have agency, and there's things you can do to win the game. And it's not even that like you have to think about it this way, but just like having this idea that like, oh, there's no way for me to win this game is such a defeatist mindset. Like I think that's part of the reason you're losing these games is you're looking at it and you're going, oh, I can't win this game. My mid's fed, or their mid's fed. I just can't win. My role doesn't do that. It's like, man, like you're setting yourself so far back already.
Yeah, like I was with that mindset. Like, again, don't you know? You can ask that question of like, what could they win from here? And then I think a lot of people are very defeated in their mindset, and it's okay to not know. You know, to be able to say like, Gumayushi would win from here, and I don't know how. Let's figure that out. Let's, you know, let's look into that question. But I think a lot of people stop it. I don't know how, or never even recognize that, and just say it's impossible. Yeah. Like, right. And that is League, right? Is you probably don't know what you need to do to win this game. And that's going to occur to every level of player across the game at some point where it's like, I don't know what I did wrong here, but I, you know, somebody else could have probably won this match. Let's try and look into, you know, ask the question, do a VOD review, ask somebody else to look at it, like review a professional player VOD. Like there's other routes you can go besides saying game was unwinnable, teammates suck, go next.
Mm-hmm. Cool. thank you, Dippy, for your email. Next email is from Jotty. Hey guys, I just got gold for the first time with a 65% win rate on Urgot. Want to know if this champ is viable moving forward. If I want to keep progressing higher, I look at tier list and the champion with an S+ just seems so boring to me. Do I stick or twist? Thank you for the podcast. It's awesome.
If you're not rank one, then it doesn't matter what character you play. And if you are rank one, how I feel it also too. Doesn't matter what character you play. If you play it well, you can climb with it. Like,
so I think like the I'll shill them again, the broken by concept like viewpoint on this, or the previous one, I think they've changed it a bit, is like you can play any character to challenger, right? Like that's not interesting discussion because it's just possible.
It's just
if you're good enough. Yeah,
everyone's done it. Yeah. Or it's like someone's done it for every character.
Yeah, exactly. But it's like you may have to play a little bit better than someone who is playing meta. However, some of that is going to be, some of that's just going to be like the benefit of you playing the same character and not having to switch mains. Like it's going to be beneficial in some other ways. So I like there's pros and cons to like playing, like one tricking a character and just doing that. But I think like if your goal is to just get Elo, like, stick with Urgot. There's no reason to. There's no reason that you can't hit a high rank with Urgot just because a tier list says he's not S+.
Dude, I'm in the Tom Kench subreddit a lot, dude. Tom Kench top is like 49% win rate, dude. There's posts daily that are like, man, when is Bryant gonna give us some fucking help, man? This character is just like so bad right now.
Unplayable.
There's no challenger Tom Kench top players right now. It's just like, dude, holy fuck. You guys are just gold player.
it is funny that like my champ is bad because there's no challenger player, but you're struggling in silver, my guy. it doesn't apply to you at all.
There's thousands that are above you.
Yeah, I don't know. The truth is, like, what do you guys think is the absolute worst character in the game right now? Like,
I think we've been probably memeing, but actually also agreeing on the fact that it's Morgana, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably Morgana support, right? Because I don't know that we can go by the tier list and look at like what character is played in their main role or whatever.
Briar.
It looks like Corki or Cassante top or Yumi, like, right?
Cassante right now.
Cassante has a 46.7% win rate. That's still like 46%. Like I don't think 46% on a character like Cassante is that bad. Like Yumi actually is probably the worst character in the game, and she's at, you know, 47% win rate, 46.7.
Skarner.
I bet Skarner is like pretty high actually.
And I can guarantee you can find a one trick D1 or higher on all of those characters.
Yeah.
People play Skarner top and have success.
Yeah, the one guy who does it on a name makes me want to die whenever I play with him.
Yeah, it's like the least fun thing to play into.
He just sits there and just fucking just waits for kills under tower and does
nothing.
You know it's going to happen.
He
doesn't even get it that much. I've watched his stream a lot. He gets them like not even once a game, man. It's so fucking funny.
Skarner, 51.65% win rate, by the way.
Yeah, I honestly think Skarner might be the worst character in the game, though.
Yeah. Stick with Urgot. Cool.
Urgot's good. All you have to learn how to do is flash your E onto people. It's hard not to get a kill if you have flash up.
Yeah, especially with your ult.
Crazy.
Like, I guess that's part of the combo, yeah. Just have your ult up as well.
I think also just on Urgot, like, actually spacing as a ranged character is also important, where I've seen a lot of bad Urgots, like, play in melee range the whole time, and it's like, yeah, you don't have the stats of a melee character.
Also, learn your W cancels.
True.
I feel like that's really important, too.
1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3.
I don't think that's as important, honestly, 99% of the time, but it helps.
I think it's pretty important if you're going to one-trick him.
Right?
Like, I don't think it's necessarily good for, like, fights or anything where, like, you have to keep that rhythm to maximize it. But if you're not using it on turrets, like, I feel like you're actually putting yourself at a huge disadvantage.
It is so funny. Like, we talked about this a couple months ago, but, like, the fact that his DPS is just so much lower if you just keep W. it's crazy.
Or if you don't use W at all. Like, both of those options are bad because he has this third option, which is not that hard to learn.
And
like, super valuable.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where, again, like, right, going back to champion mastery, where playing more of that character you'll just do that every time and know how to. And we'll be doing it right. And it makes a big difference, right? Like, the only character I can really speak to in at least that regard is, like, Misfortune, where there's a point in the game where autoing the tower nonstop versus tower, minion, tower, minion, tower, minion, like, alternating does more damage because of her passive, I think, after level 11. Realistically, I think it's closer to level 9 because you get resets on the W attack speed. But most Misfortune players don't do that.
I've seen Misfortunes not do it on Nexus turrets where you can just alternate between turrets and you know, keep up the DPS as high as possible.
Yeah. Hey, champion mastery matters. Thank you for the email, Jotty. Good luck on your climb. It seems like you're pretty quickly on your way to platinum. I think he was like gold 2 with 66% win rate on our gods.
Hell yeah.
Next email from Kaskrin. Hey, League Cast, we've all been there. Our team is down 10k gold. We finally make that crucial pick for a 1k gold shutdown. Yes, we can win. Then your heart drops. Janna got the kill. Your team's already struggling mental is now gone. Hooray, Janna's shield is now 8% bigger. Should kill bounties be shared throughout the whole team like objective bounties?
I had this discussion with, like, fucking Drew, like, a week ago. It is, like, one of the worst things in the, like...
It sucks.
Like... So the counterpoint to, like, why it shouldn't happen is because it's just a preventable thing. As support, you just shouldn't take kills, like, when possible. And don't get me wrong, I do it as well. I think Alistar is one of the easiest characters to accidentally steal kills on, but, like, fuck, man. Like, every single time it happens, I go, oh, this should just not be a mechanic.
Yeah, I do like it, though, because, like, it's... I'm not going to say high risk, high reward, because it's not high risk. But, like, the difference between 200 gold onto your hyper carry who needs it and 1,000 gold onto your hyper carry who needs it is, like, pretty vast, you know? So, like, I understand it existing there. I do almost feel like it should be, it should be shared.
I would rather see them, like... If they did adjust this, also adjust the formula for kill gold versus assist gold, like lower kill gold, give assist more. Because I feel like that adds toxicity to the game, where it's like people will not go for the kill because they're trying to wait for the last hit, and then that like is just,
he says after doing that to me yesterday,
yeah, it was ARAM, it doesn't count.
But I would almost like feel I kind of like that, but only for shutdowns, where if you got like, instead of 100% of the shutdown gold, you got like 60% and then the, or 50%, and then the remaining 50% of the,
I like that,
shutdown gold was distributed among everyone else, right? So there's still like the benefit of that, of getting the shutdown onto who you want.
And
do it
and feel like you're,
but it still doesn't feel bad if your Janna takes it because you got something.
Yeah, I would, again, I think that's a good formula. I don't know what the current assist formula is, but like, I think what,
it's half the base kill.
Okay. So it's 300 gold for a kill, and then the 150 is split.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or, yeah, I mean, I,
well, 150
split between whoever has assisted.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I could see that maybe shifted a little more, like maybe like 250 for the kill, and then like still 150 share, or like 175, I don't know. Like, mm-hmm. I could see that shifted a little bit. I think it also is tough, though, because in situations where it was like a two-man kill, it, I feel like, would be kind of wild to, like, your, let's say your top laner and your mid laner, like, pick off their fed person and they both get 500 gold. Like, that would be crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know. Definitely an interesting idea to play around with.
Wait, do you know that fucking kill bounties give more than 1,000 gold after 7 kills?
After 7 kills. What does that mean?
Like, so it's not capped at 1,000. Like,
what are you saying?
So,
like,
if you
maximum
get,
shutdown value?
Yeah. So you know what it says, plus 700? It's not, it's more than that, or at least according to this.
I don't think that that's the case. I think it maxes at 1,000, but the, like, tracker on it keeps
and just,
going.
Like, goes, I see.
And so you can get the 1,000 gold shutdown into, like, a 500 gold shutdown.
Okay, yeah, and it says here, if I hover it, it's capped at 3,600 gold at 33 kills, which obviously is just, you have to kill them 3 times to get all the gold.
To get all the bounty.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
Cool.
Yeah, it's just worded weird.
That is so fucking fun though. When you get like the 1,000 gold shutdown, they come back with like,
and they still have
a 600 gold shutdown, and you get that too. And they're just like, oh well, thank you for nullifying your lead. I think we got one more email left.
Yeah, thanks, Kasserkin. Hey, whoever sent this email, thank you. Hi, I have been listening to your podcast for a very long time, and I just want to say thank you for the dedication and making the best podcast ever. Thank you. Have a great day. Thank you to whoever sent that email.
Yeah,
very,
unless you're an
AD kind.
Carry player.
They wouldn't be smart enough to type that.
Oh my god.
Aiden, you're such a bully.
True. Thank you all for listening. If you want to send us an email, it's mail@leecastpodcast.com. Watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/kinglotout, bluebasket, and leecastfrost. Tweet at us. I guess it's x.com now /leadcast. That kind of sucks. On Facebook or Leadcast, visit our website, leadcastpodcast.com. Join our Discord server, discord.gg/leadcast, and support us on Patreon, patreon.com/leadcast. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.